the J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
I wanted to be a doctor when I went to college. A few things got in my way. Calculus, physics, biology, zoology, chemistry, organic chemistry, reading, spelling, comprehension, behavior, aptitude, attitude, and talent. I have but one medical legacy I could leave. It would make my late father so happy. One time I was playing my harmonica. I just put it in my mouth and breathed. And it played a tune that reflected my breathing, you know. I thought to myself, this would make a hell of a nurse's aide. A guy is sick in the hospital. A nurse could put one of these in his mouth, hear how he's breathing, go away, play cards. You need a Bob Dylan neck brace, you know, to hold it. Any problem, she hears right away, musically. Dr. Klein, Code Blue, Dr. Moe, Dr. Larry, Dr. Curly. And it's much more personal than beep, 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 beep. Don't you agree? If you should happen to expire, that's the word they use in hospitals when you die. Expire, a man or a library card. It makes you think you could have done something. I told you to renew Newsweek and Uncle Irv. Now he's expired. If you expire with the Robert Klein breathing detection device, in you, it ends on a very appropriate cadence. You know, I mean, it's appropriate for the end of a life. You know what I mean?
Now, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that. Say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
Monday, February 6th, 2023. 9 more days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. How you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com for the first time in quite a while. Man, oh man, did I get sick. You know, I haven't been sick in 3 years because I've been wearing a mask like everybody else for most of that time. And so some sort of virus or some sort of thing. Well, you know, it starts out with a sore throat, and that goes for about 2 days, and then it goes into your head, and you produce just buckets of snot. It's just unbelievable. I went through like almost 2 full boxes of Kleenex while this was going on. And then you figure, I'll probably be all right by tomorrow. And then you're not. And you're like, well, I'll probably be all right the day after that. For heaven's sakes, I'm not dying here. And then you wake up on Friday and you feel just as bad. And a good part of the weekend too. And it's just now to the point where I'm starting to feel a little bit more like myself, but God, whatever this was or whatever it is, because I know a lot of people are sick right now or getting over it like me, but man, oh man. So for, you know, we missed 3 podcasts there, including the weekend. Gosh, did anything happen? I'll get to the balloon in a minute here and some other things. We got a long dissertation today. I have to share a story with you, so we'll get to that here in just a couple of seconds. First of all, as they say in the business, a programming note. This is the final week for the podcast at this time. Okay, still going to do the podcast, still going to be, you know, absolutely free. All those things remain the same. It's just that it's not going to be released, you know, between 7 and 7:30 every day because, as I've pointed out, I don't want to be in a position where I'm competing with myself. That doesn't make any sense. Wait, JC, what do you mean competing with you? Get out of here. It's finally happening? And the answer is yes. What's going to be happening here is do the podcast regular, you know, this week. Everything's in the normal place and what you've been used to for the last year and a half. But then starting on Monday, I'm going to be focusing my attention for a couple of days on learning a brand new operating system, computer software, all sorts of stuff. And eventually, by next week, sometime, I'll probably be doing my first show, my first actual show on the new radio station that we've been talking about for quite a while now. And people are like, where is it? What time? What frequency? What? I'll give you all that in a couple of days, okay? Give me all, there's a reason why I'm not telling you those details right now. It'll make perfect sense when we finally get around to it. But yeah, we would like you to listen to the new morning show on the new radio station in St. Louis. And so I'm going to have to, like I said, spend a little bit of time next week focusing on all of that. So I don't know exactly what time the new release time for the podcast is going to be. It's going to be either 11 o'clock or noon. I'm pretty sure it's going to be 11 o'clock or noon. And I know that there's a lot of you who are like, but JC, there's really no way around this, okay? I got a fucking job. And like I said, it'd be a completely counterproductive effort to be doing a podcast while I'm also doing a radio show. So again, the podcast will continue. I mean, think of it this way. You're going to get an entire 4.5 hour radio show, and then you're going to get another 30 minutes of me in this talk environment. It just won't be at the same time. But again, I'll give you all the details down the line here. Another programming note, our Super Bowl special podcast will be coming up on Friday. That thing is getting almost as good as the opening day baseball show. I mean, I have collected such an arsenal of stuff as we get ready to go into the Super Bowl on Sunday. And so on Friday, we'll do the Super Bowl special podcast. It's getting awfully, awfully good. All right, Grammys last night. Well, Chris Stapleton with Stevie Wonder, that was pretty darn cool. And then subsequently, the Stevie Wonder, Smokey Robinson thing, that was great too. And Casey Musgraves made me a believer last night. You know how I feel about country music, but I got to be honest with myself. And that version of Coal Miner's Daughter by Casey Musgraves was so cool. Madonna came out looking and sounding very weird, no surprise there. And probably my favorite part of the night was Mick Fleetwood along with Bonnie Raitt and Sheryl Crow doing Songbird during the obituary reel, but with a heavy emphasis on the loss of Christine McVie. That was very, very nice moment last night. Bonnie Raitt, by the way, wins Song of the Year for Just Like That, and even she was so shocked. People were just looking around like, what? I remember I was in Los Angeles the year that she won all those Grammys, like four of them. I was there and I was covering it, and I got a chance to interview her, not interview her, but I got a question in the press room, you know, because what they do is you get the award, you make your speech, and then they usher you off and they take you directly backstage where they have these curtains set up in this little interview room and a bunch of journalists sitting right there, and somehow I got in. And I remember I asked her about the Del Shannon song Runaway, you know, which also pops up in the Tom Petty song Running Down a Dream. And it's like, now that hadn't happened yet, but I did ask her about Runaway, going, well, is there some sort of story about, you know, don't you just like the song? But I discovered Bonnie Raitt in college. There was a song called Been Too Long at the Fair, and I immediately was like, who is this chick? And you know who she was married to for a long time is the actor Michael O'Keefe from Caddyshack. And I know there are people who think that I complain too much about stuff like this, but for example, you start looking at the list of recording artists who have never won a Grammy: The Who, Journey, Guns N' Roses, The Beach Boys, four nominations, no wins. The Supremes never won a Grammy. Def Leppard, The Moody Blues, Creedence Clearwater, Heart, four nominations, no wins. Queen, four nominations, no wins. I want to address something right now, because I might not get a chance to do it later, and it's important. It's important because you sort of see things like this all the time behind the scenes, and it's the stuff that you guys don't get to know anything about and don't get to hear about because you're not on the inside. This is why when there's some sort of big story, whether it's in sports or politics or, yes, radio, even local radio like us in St. Louis, you write a book or you publish a blog, or maybe you're just sitting around a table with a bunch of people and you go, oh, you know, I know that's what you think, but I was there and let me tell you, here's the real story. And that's why everybody is really drawn to stories like that. Everybody just wants to know what was the real story, what really happened, what really went on. I don't think the literary world, for example, would even survive if you didn't have a steady stream of people who are in high-profile situations or really, really interesting situations. And, you know, with the passage of time and sometimes an ability to step out and away and look at something from about 2,000 feet instead of from very, very close up where you were involved for many, many years, and you pull away, and with the passage of time and the ability to sort of look at something from a distance and say, yeah, I see it now for what it really was. And so that's why people write books, and that's why Barbara Walters, you know, for so many years got really, really big interviews with people, and why Oprah still does it now. It's like, oh, the royal family, we want to know everything. Tell us everything. Don't spare any of the details. I have all night. So I will circle back and connect that, what I just said, to something else here after I first sort of give you the background and the foundation of the story so, you know, you can understand it. You know, it's been like this with me for a long time. You know, when you start out in the business, you're just craving attention. You are saying, you know, to the world, please notice me. And again, that applies to all forms of anything that would fall under the heading of entertainment. You know, sports, literature, movies, television, you know, the works, all that sort of stuff. Politics, for sure. Somebody notice me. Somebody know you do things that will try to set you aside from the rest of the pack. Because in reality, and frankly, these days especially, if you don't do that, you'll just get swept away with the 99.9% other people who are trying to make it big and never do. But every once in a while, you know, you see somebody break out on a comedy show or in a movie or in politics, and suddenly everybody wants to know about that person. And if you're real lucky, you get to do it for a long time so that people on occasion will apply the prefix legend or legendary to your name. Not a lot of people get to do that. We got the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday. Most football players, if they're lucky, 3, 4, 5 years in the NFL? Maybe. But then you get a guy like Walter Payton, who everybody in the world, everybody knows the name. Walter Payton hasn't played football for, what, 25 years? And Seth Meyers made a joke the other night, and the punchline had to do with Walter Payton. You've got to be famous. You've got to be legendary for that to happen. Now, for a lot of people, the legendary status is just longevity, really. Somehow, some way, whether it is because talent or luck or a combination of the two, which is usually the story, you get to do some sort of job and you get to do it for a real, real long time. You just sort of ride the wave of the ups and the downs. And at the end of the day, it's like 40 or 50 years later, and they're giving you the gold watch and they're calling you a legend. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people who become legends, and it's like the old joke, you're a legend in your own mind. It is referred to in the entertainment business as believing your own press releases. And it's one thing if you're doing something in the public arena and the media is just clamored around you going, we need to know everything about this guy or this woman, and this is a fascinating person and they do good work and we want to know everything about you. It's like a space oddity. The guys at the newspapers, you know, they want to know what kind of shirts you wear. But there are a number of bogus legends. And if you talk about it on a local level, I could give you quite a few names. These are people who, for whatever reason, seem to have some sort of upbeat or generally positive image with the general public. But as somebody I knew a long time ago said, what's good is not always popular, and what's popular is not always good. Sometimes people have that legend thing, that prefix before their name, and it is completely bogus. We were talking about Beetle Bob the other day. All right, so yeah, it's too bad. Beetle Bob's sick. I don't like to see anybody get sick. But I could tell you stories from now until kingdom come about how theaters, concert venues, and public relations firms, television and radio stations, and people who are just generally in control on one level or another for the stuff that you end up seeing and reading about. And to a person, they will all have a long list of horror stories and nightmare scenarios about having to have dealt with Beetle Bob. It's fascinating to me because the Riverfront Times has been pouring praise on this guy since I can remember. You know, he's so colorful. St. Louis's most unusual, colorful character. Not if you talk to the people who have to deal with him on an ongoing basis. I told you before, I was personally there. I saw it with my own two eyes. I'd been hearing about it for years, because this goes back years. But I'd been hearing about it for a long time, and there it was in World News in Clayton. And the guy just came over and said, "Bob, come on, get out." They wouldn't even allow him in the store anymore because he's such a kleptomaniac. For years, he's been misrepresenting himself about who he works for. Like, well, I got to get into the show or to this concert or to this play at the Fox Theater because my audience, you know, needs to know about this. I'm like, what audience and where? You don't work anywhere. And you can't just set up a blog, you know, on the internet and go, I'm in show business now. I'm a journalist. It doesn't work that way. Some people are trying to get it to work that way, but it doesn't. I mean, you got to have some degree of credibility, and credibility comes from doing lots of different things and not any of them. I'll give you another example. Johnny Rabbit. This is a guy by the name of Ron Ells. And for those of you who are old enough to remember, back in the 1960s, particularly on KXOK, the most popular, the most famous, the most successful radio DJ in town for quite a few years was Johnny Rabbit. And for, you know what, approaching 60 years now, Ron Ells has been telling people, oh yeah, well, that's me. I was Johnny Rabbit. And he wears that derby with the ears come out of it. And I've had this conversation with John Pertzborn a million times, because Pertzborn for years has had some sort of relationship with Johnny Rabbit, and, you know, has been featuring him on TV and doing all sorts of stuff. You know, to this day, you'll hear these stories about this amazing Johnny Rabbit. And the truth of the matter is that, yes, in the 1960s on KXOK, Johnny Rabbit ruled, absolutely ruled. There's only one problem. Johnny Rabbit's real name was Don Petromonico, and he was the guy who was Johnny Rabbit. And then he got job offers from all over the country, ended up leaving St. Louis, and they sort of looked around the station and said, you're the new Johnny Rabbit. And so starting that night, they stuck him in the studio, and he just went on as if nothing had happened. And the audience, for the most part, was unaware of anything. They were like, he sounds a little different, but I don't know. It's Johnny Rabbit. So this guy has been living off that lie for 60 years. I called up Tom Ackerman a couple of years ago. Tom's a great guy over at KMOX, and they were making all of the people, all the full-time people, do long-form interviews, like hour-long interviews. I did one, as a matter of fact. They called me up and said, can you sit for an hour and answer questions? And I said, sure. So I got to be on one of them, and sure enough, somebody brings in Ron Ells / Johnny Rabbit, and he gave Tom Ackerman the biggest cock and bull story I have ever heard about how he ended up with the name Johnny Rabbit. It was 100% fabricated. And I called Tom up. I go, that guy lied to you. He made the entire thing. And I told him everything that I just told you. And he was totally unaware of it. Give you another example. And I don't know this for sure. I only know that the people who I know who seem to always have correct information on stuff like this also swear by it. The name is Mickey Carroll. For years, he was our, you know, local beloved former cast member of The Wizard of Oz. And I'll make this one short. Nobody can find anything that indicates that Mickey Carroll was ever in The Wizard of Oz. And I know a lot of you have never heard of a couple of these things, especially that one right there. People are like, what are you talking about? Mickey Carroll, of course he was in The Wizard of Oz. I don't think he was. And there doesn't seem to be anybody who can come up with anything that can prove he was in the movie. He was basically a midget, or we're ever calling short people these days. And somewhere along the line started this thing up, and people bought into it. And the next thing you know, he's like, you know, a local treasure. And I'm sitting there going, what do you do? People want to believe stories like this. That's it. People want to believe certain stories. And especially in a place like St. Louis, which is always trying to I don't know, make it seem like it's bigger than it is. St. Louis is a great city, but it's a middle market city. It isn't Chicago. It's not Boston. It's not New York. And, you know, St. Louis people, I don't know, they always seem like they just want to make it seem like St. Louis is just like the crossroads of America. And it isn't. And we keep losing population. When I got to St. Louis, it was market number 18. And right now it's 26. You tell me. You ever been out on vacation and tell somebody you're from St. Louis? It's almost like they hit the deck. They're afraid that, you know, somebody followed you there is going to start shooting. So, again, you have a lot of stuff like this where, and you know, we've heard stories for years about show business, entertainers, movie stars, you know, really, really big stars, people in rock and roll who have this wonderful, just sort of, you know, maybe eccentric image, but we know it's all just show business. This is actually a swell guy or a wonderful woman. And then somebody comes along eventually and says, let me tell you about a real asshole. And then you find out the real story. And people are like, oh, I didn't know. So let me swing all the way back around now from where I started with this thing. Remember, I told you at the beginning that's what I was going to do. So a little over a year ago, I got contacted by some people who have been working very, very hard. And I mean, you know, to the point where I actually tried a little bit of an intervention a couple of months ago and told one guy who was, you know, literally pouring like 18 hours a day into something. They're like, you've got to recreate. You've got to get away from this. You are going to give yourself a heart attack. And we none of us want to see that happen. So, Jesus, go just pull out for a weekend or something like that and don't think about work. What work, JC? Well, like I said, I got contacted a little over a year ago from some people who said, we are going to put on a brand new radio station in St. Louis. And, you know, I started asking a lot of questions, as you can expect. And to make a very, very long story short, I've been alluding to this for quite a while now. And a lot of you probably thought it went away and isn't going to happen. And I said I would explain it because there were a lot of people who threw roadblocks in our way for reasons that probably will become pretty apparent when I get a little deeper into the story. There's some very, very nervous people right now. And they're at the radio station is in St. Louis, who will, in all likelihood, become adversely affected from a ratings perspective and a revenue perspective, because we're going to probably end up taking some of their business away. That's right. I told you that this was coming down, and it's real, real close right now. As I mentioned a little bit earlier in today's podcast, the podcast is going to be moving, and it has to move, and I've already explained all that. But like I said, the reason it's moving is because, you know, I don't want to be competing against myself, and I will be on the air in the morning on a St. Louis radio station that really is going to get out. I mean, it's going to really get out there. I have not been on an FM music station in St. Louis for 13 and a half years, and that's all going to change in a couple of days. And as I said, there's been a station out in the Westplex for a couple of years now, and we're going to be simulcasting that signal, and you're going to be able to hear it in the Westplex, all the way on St. Charles, St. Peter's, and all that. And then now, for the first time, starting in a couple of days, in St. Louis and surrounding areas, and we're going to have an app for those of you who still will have reception issues, perhaps, because this is not going to be some sort of monster signal. It's a little station, but sometimes little things accomplish big things. So when we started putting this whole project together, we're like, okay, well, who is available and who would really fit? And two women whose names you know, Katie Cruz, and then Michelle, well, she was Michelle Matthews, Michelle Holiday, I think she's Michelle Holiday again. They're both there, and they're great people, and they're going to be on the air every day, and you're going to love them. There's a couple other people whose names have not been officially, you know, sort of added to the names that we can give you. But one of the names that I immediately threw out there, and I said, well, I know Radio Rich is around. You know, I think he'd be perfect for this as long as you can control him. Why would you need to control Radio Rich? Well, that takes some explaining. So about 13 years ago, when everybody started getting fired at all the radio stations, they were laying people off left and right. And like I said, Katie Cruz got laid off, and our whole show eventually got laid off. They ended up changing the radio station. Then they ended up selling the radio station. And we found out later that the reason they were making all these layoffs was because the guy almost lost the company. And when that happens, it's like the high and the mighty. You're like throwing luggage and pulling seats out of the out of the floorboard and throwing them out windows just to keep the plane from going into the drink. And that's what this guy was doing. It's like he's trying to save the company. And he ended up having to sell it. But that's all, you know, almost a decade and a half ago. But that's how this whole thing started, because the radio business, as you know, started falling upon hard times. People were mismanaging the piss out of the places. They just kept playing the same songs over and over and over again. People got bored. People went to alternate sources of entertainment and media. And you know, so here we are in 2023, and what do you got? So I was the first guy to bring up Radio Rich's name, and I said, well, let's give him a call. But before I tell you how those calls turned out and what it led to, let me just back up a little bit. Like I said, about 13 and a half years ago, when all these stations started, you know, practically going out of business, they didn't really know what to do with Radio Rich on Keishi, or at that, you know, K-Hits was going out of business. They ended up flipping the format over to Country or some nonsense, or Top 40. I don't even remember. All I know is what we were doing was just gone. And so for a lot of years, there's this thing called HD radio. HD radio. Now, I could do a dissertation that would take 2.5 days if I really wanted to. But let me put it this way. Go into Best Buy. Ask where the HD radios are. They will probably say to you, you mean satellite? It's like, no, dummy, not satellite. Back when I was still at K-Hits, we were running 4 promos every hour, 24 hours a day on K-Hits. Think about that. 4 every hour, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, saying, get yourself an HD radio, and oh, it's going to open the world to you. And people would run down to their electronics store and say, give me one of those HD radios. I personally went to 5 Best Buy stores in one day during this period about 13 years ago. I went to 5 stores and asked them all the same question. Can you show me where the HD radios are? And you would get these, you know, clusters of like 4 and 5 guys on the floor all huddling together and looking over their shoulders at me like, this guy wants an HD. Do we have, what is it? What's HD radio? They didn't even know. And they didn't carry the radios. They didn't even have any on the shelves. They didn't have a section in the store that said, here's the HD radios. Pretty much the best you could do is if you bought a brand new stereo system for your car, or if you bought a car, you know, a late model car, some of the radios came with HD capabilities. But even with all this going on, somehow Keishi's HD radio station started to gain some listeners, because it played a lot of the old stuff and there weren't any commercials, and they were like, well, you know, maybe we can make this into something, even though HD radio was dead on arrival. But there were a couple of spots across the country where, for whatever reason, somebody said, oh, there's this new station, how do I get it? Well, you have to have a special radio, and on and on and on. There were great stories. There was a situation in San Francisco. Is it San Francisco or San Jose? I can't remember. It's one of the two places. And the HD signal went belly up, and nobody even knew about it for 2 weeks, because nobody listened, nobody complained, nobody knew about it. Even the engineers who run the radio station went back and looked, oh, this thing's been off the air for 2 weeks. We didn't know. There's your HD radio. Okay. So anyhow, the management at the company that owns these stations I'm talking about in St. Louis, including Keishi and K-Hits at the time, and The Point, and what else do they own? Oh, the FM talk station with all those awful people. They said, well, we got to do something with Rich. Let's put him in charge of the HD2 station, and he can run that. And now I'm going to shorten the story, because it starts to get a little boring here. And again, to make the story very short, he ended up getting bounced out of that job after a few months because he was doing what he wanted to do instead of what the management wanted him to do. And so they booted him out. Well, I can remember there was a gentleman, an older gentleman, who had been somebody that a lot of us worked with for a lot of years, and he passed away. And so at the little celebration of life for this guy, no, wait, that wasn't for his funeral. It was his 90th birthday. That's what it was. Okay, I'm sorry. Told that story on. So it was his 90th birthday, and I still remember it was at some bar. It was really, really cold that night, and it was at some bar in the Dogtown area. And so you walk in there, and it looked like a radio reunion.
Because this guy was 90 years old, and almost everybody either worked with him at some point or another, or knew about him, or and everybody just liked him. You know, you get a 90-year-old guy hanging around a rock station. You know, it's like Larry Bud Melman or something. But this guy was really, really good, and everybody loved the guy. And it was his 90th birthday, and this was our tribute to this guy. Everybody showed up at this thing. Everybody. And it was right about that time that one of the principal topics of conversation was, has anybody here talked to Rich lately? I mean, it was the buzz of the entire evening. What had happened was that after Rich got bounced, he cut a YouTube video and put it on social media and basically said, hi, it's Rich, and here's the deal. You all know me, and you know what great music I play and everything. And by the way, can I just stop right there? Of course I can. I'm doing the show. I can make my own rules. I know that this is one of these things that people believe, and I'm going to tell you this right now, and you're going to say, that can't be possible. But Rich, on the radio stations he's been on, plays the same music that we're all playing. It's the same playlist. I've told you this before. KG, for example, 356 songs. You know, there are services in the broadcast industry that actually monitor this stuff and spit it out on a computer a spreadsheet, basically. And they're like, here's the number of songs that got played. Here's how often they got played. And you look at your competition. And you go, okay, I see what they're doing there. They're emphasizing these songs. They're cutting back on here. Look at this one. Oh, they stuck this one in. This is some obscure song. They're just plugging that in there to remind people that, you know, that they still know about the song and everything. So this is part of the industry. But to his credit, and this is an honest to God compliment here, to his credit, sometimes the way you present a song, even if it's fucking Cold as Ice by Foreigner, which you've heard enough for 15 lifetimes and which gets played like once a day on most rock stations around the country, if you know what you're doing, you can even make a song like that sounds more interesting if you have something interesting to say about it before you play it. You bring up some little tidbit that maybe people didn't know about. Hey, did you know about this song? And so people in some cases, I know this doesn't sound plausible, but I promise you guys, I'm telling you the truth. He's playing the same songs everybody else was. So this perception that somehow he was, he would get on the air and, oh, the music would just improve tremendously. Folks, I was there. We were all there. That's not what happened. Anyhow. So, yeah, Rich is out of a job, and he puts up a video on social media and says, you know, I'm Radio Rich, and here's the deal. I'm going to start an internet radio station, and I'm going to play the best music, and because I'm not going to have anybody to answer to, I can do whatever I want, I can play whatever I want, and all you have to do is give me $50,000. And everybody's going, what? Yeah, I need $50,000, and if you give me $50,000, I will put this radio station on the internet, and then, I'll play all these great songs for you, and that money, obviously, the 50 grand will be for me. So here's my GoFundMe page. On your mark, get set, go. Well, about $255 later, when the total on the GoFundMe page hadn't moved in about a week, I mean, folks, I'm telling you, it became the laughing stock of the broadcast industry. I mean, everybody was talking about it. Like, has he lost his fucking mind? I'll play some music you like if you give me 50 grand of your money. So I knew about all this a couple of years ago about a year ago when we started to put all this together. I'm like, well, maybe none of that matters. So let's just, you know, let's put him on the station and let's see how it goes. It's going to give us lots of instant recognition, regardless of how we feel about him. We do know that the audience perception is that when he shows up at a radio station, it's like sort of big news. So let's take advantage of that. And so we approached him. And I don't really know how to adequately express what happened when this happened. But let's just say, not only me, but the guys that I'm working with on this new project, on this new radio station, all became targets of what I'll only call a psychotic tirade, in which we were all called idiots. We were all told that none of us have any idea what we're doing, and that the only way he would work on this project if he's given free rein to play, to say, and to do whatever he wanted to. And oh, by the way, I need to run the radio station. This is him speaking. So in other words, yeah, I'll do a show, and but I have to have complete, I just carte blanche, and oh, by the way, I would have to run it. We were like, your show? Goes, no, the radio station. Oh, okay. And we all sat and looked around at each other like, what the fuck is going on? Are you hearing what I'm hearing? And then after that call, I received an email from Rich that, as far as I'm concerned, he can fold up and shove up that giant ass of his. And if you think that's where the story ends, oh, no, no, no. I wouldn't take you this long for a story that ended there. In every situation like this, you talk about, you know, putting brand new radio stations on the air and hiring staff and having to put up transmitters and, you know, just running an entire company. You're talking about a lot of money. And I'm not talking about thousands or even hundreds of thousands. I'm talking about a lot of fucking money. You want to buy a radio station right now on the FM dial in a city the size of St. Louis, depending on the station, probably somewhere between 11 and maybe $45-50 million. So say, you know, 25 to 30, just to be on the safe side, if you want to buy one FM radio station in St. Louis. So what you have to do is you got to get creative and you got to figure out a different way to do it, which is something that we did. But in all of these cases, I don't care what you're doing, there's always a big boss, the big guy, the money guy, the guy who comes along and says, look, I have enough money to be able to do this. And so I've gotten these people together who I think will be able to pull this off and then manage it and turn it into a good, solid financial investment, while at the same time providing a marvelous new radio station for the city of St. Louis. There's always that guy. And he usually is way, way off to the side, not even in the same building as you. You know what I'm talking about. Because this guy obviously is managing all of his other business interests. And I shouldn't say guy, because it could be a woman too. You never know. The Georgia Frontier, for God's sakes, okay? Fucking Oprah, you know? And that's the way the big bosses operate. It's like, look, you know, I've got 75 irons in the fire here. I didn't get to have all these millions of dollars, including the amount of money that I'm investing into this radio situation that we're all working on. So, you know, I'm trusting you men and women to do your jobs and to pull this thing off and to turn this into a profitable operation so everybody goes away happy. You know, I want to make money. You guys want to make money. And we want to do something creatively interesting that is something that has never been done in St. Louis before, which is what we're going to attempt to do here with this new radio station. And truly, as far as I'm concerned, this is like the first really new sounding radio station in about 30 years, maybe longer than that. But anyway, I digress. But you know how the money guys are. You know, a lot of them are bankers. And these guys are busy. So could you possibly imagine the shock and the surprise of our money guy when he received the message from Mr. Dalton indicating that he felt that he should be put in charge of this operation and that J.C. Corcoran and everybody else involved in the project should be immediately dismissed? Well, luckily, our money guy knows his shit, and I think politely requested that he not be called again. And so this is what we know about the situation. And since all of this transpired over the course of the last few months, I had subsequent conversations with people whose names you would know immediately. Big, big recognizable names in the broadcast industry in St. Louis. And to a man, they all said, he's lost his fucking mind. He is unmanageable. I don't think he'll ever work in St. Louis again. He's nuts. And so when we launch the new radio station, and I'll be giving you all the details you need to know very, very soon, literally within days. So when we launch this thing and he's not a part of it, now you know the reason why. I harbor no ill will against him. I don't really care. I mean, that's really where I'm at in my life right now. I either like you or I just don't really care anymore. And so, and if you remember only one thing from this rant, remember this. And I said this immediately when this all shook out. I said, this is going to be a great broadcast operation with or without him. And I swear to God, I really hope that that Rich, I don't know, gets whatever psychological advisement he so richly deserves, apparently. You know, it's really interesting. I don't think any of us, and I would include myself in this list, I don't think any of us had any idea that he had this amount of contempt for us, because we all liked him, even with his, you know, pretentiousness, and even with that sort of whole believing your own press releases thing. I don't know what else to say about it other than to say, can you imagine this? I mean, we're trying to give this guy a job, and our reward is for him to turn around, attack us, and try to get us kicked off the project before it even launches. I mean, can you even imagine? So that's it. It would have been a great broadcast facility with him. It is going to be a great broadcast facility without him. The end.
While I was out sick, I was not able to recognize a couple of momentous occasions. It was last week in 1997 that I was kissed by actress Beverly D'Angelo. It was in Las Vegas. It's a long story, but she kissed me and then went back to Al Pacino. Last week was the anniversary back in 1991 of the famous Gino Cavallini finger story. We just talked about that a couple of months ago, so I'm not going to go back and do that. Most of you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, send me a note and I'll tell you. Last week was the anniversary of the Rams Super Bowl loss in New Orleans, but a great moment sitting at the interview table with John Goodman, who came in with his posse, and I'm telling you, I never laughed so hard in my life. Yesterday, back in 2007, was the anniversary of my first swim lesson at the center of Clayton. A very, very nice young man by the name of Kyle. I signed up for 6 lessons because I don't know how to swim. And after 4 lessons, I didn't go back for the final 2. After 4 lessons, I gave up. The poor kid was trying to teach me to swim. And I'm a fairly athletic person. You know, you hand me a club, I'll hit a golf ball. You hand me a bat, I'll hit a baseball. You hand me a pigskin, I'll throw a football. I can skate. I have no idea what to do with a basketball or a soccer ball. So you just stick with the things that you know. But I figured it's about time to learn how to swim. And I have no explanation. This is like the 5th person in my life, in my adult life, that has tried to teach me to swim and has gone away a broken shell of what they used to be. 2007, today, the anniversary of my debut on Fox 2. What's on my mind was the segment. Got to do these little 90-second vignettes. And one of our book signings of World News in Clayton. We were just talking about them a moment ago, back in 2001. Late Night Tonight, Kimmel and Colbert are off for the week. Jimmy Fallon's got Ashton Kutcher and Allison Brie. Corden has Michael Douglas and Taylor Schilling and Eddie Izzard with Seth Meyers. Actor Charles Kimbrough, who I had a chance to interview for The Hunchback of Notre Dame, or Notre Dame, if you prefer. But most people know him as Jim Dial on Murphy Brown. He passed away at the age of 86. Mark Hamill selling signed Star Wars posters to raise money for the Ukrainian army. Good idea. Woody Harrelson's going to host Saturday Night Live coming up on February 25th. Adele said she's only going to the Super Bowl to watch Rihanna. And here we go again with the, and by the way, I did say Rihanna. That's right, because that's how it's pronounced. We've been saying it wrong all these years. It's not Rihanna. It's Rihanna, like as in Rhiannon, which makes perfect sense, by the way, when you start to think about it. And here we go again with this nonsense about should the Monday after the Super Bowl be a national holiday. And all I keep saying is, play the game on Saturday. Problem solved. Birthdays today. Ooh, you got Rick Rolled. Rick Astley, 57. Axl Rose, 61. Kathy Najimy from Veep, Hocus Pocus, and those Sister Act movies, 66. Tom Brokaw, 83. Mike Farrell, BJ Honeycutt on MASH, 84. And, well, Ronald Reagan, born on this date in 1911. The Queen of Polka, Vlasta Kosic, take it over.
Happy birthday, President Reagan. On this day you were born. Happy birthday, we wish you many more. Happy birthday, enjoy yourself and don't be blue. Close your eyes, go watch your candles, make your wish come true.
Oh, it goes on for much longer than that, but I wouldn't. Why would I do something like that to nice people like you? A lot of the Mardi Gras stuff has already begun. The Soulard Pet Parade is this weekend. I'll talk to Dave Murray maybe Wednesday or Thursday and see what the weather situation looks like for the weekend. And a lot of people are asking questions about the balloon situation from over the weekend. I'm sure a lot of this will start shaking out this week as the United States of America, you know, reels this thing in from the ocean and starts to examine it. And at some point, they'll probably tell us a little bit about what's going on. But again, I think you'll join me in a debt of gratitude to George Santos, flying an F-15, who shot down the balloon over the weekend. Thank you, George. A grateful nation is indebted to you. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran Podcast for Monday, February 6, 2023. 9 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. Have yourselves a great day. We are here every weekday morning right about this time, like I said, for the rest of the week. And then we're going to be moving it to later on in the morning, but still working on details. I will share those details with you as they become available. On a need-to-know basis only. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.